Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.
Hi there, this is Slu Paho, host of The Car Wash. A quick note before we get into today's show, this is a pre-recorded podcast, so sometimes football news comes out after we record the show. In today's show, we discuss the Bidvest Wits TTM FC situation, and at the time of our recording, Wits hadn't put out a statement of their own, but since then they have addressed the sale publicly. Also, at the time of our recording, only Ricardo Goss had been transferred to Mamelodi Sundowns, but since then, Downs have also purchased Hashim Domingo and Gift Motupa. But now that that's out of the way, whether you're listening to us on SL Radio, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, or Mahikeng FM 96.7's Game Time, enjoy the show. Good day and welcome to the Car Wash. This is episode number 32. On today's show, 99 years of Wits history down the drain. The Premier League is back and still no word from Safa and the PSL regarding the return of local football. Before we get into it, I just want to say a rest in peace to Mike Mokwena. The PSL has confirmed the death of the Free State Stars club chairman and founding member of the National Soccer League back in the day. So condolences to his friends and family and to our Free State football fraternity. I am not alone. I am not alone joining you in your eardrums. We've got the man with a chipper on his shoulder, Sean Roberts. How you doing?
I'm great, brother. How are you, my man?
All goody. And joining him is the man who can't be injured, Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Elise Ludo.
All good. So before we dive into things, I just want to say firstly, for those of you who don't know, our editor, Simon Strella, took paternity leave, to be with his wife and newborn son. And in his place stepped Aiden Hewitt, who manned the ship with us for the past couple months. So we just want to say a big thank you to him for helping us out during that time. And also welcome back to Simon. And welcome to the world, baby William Simon Strella, the first of the car wash babies. From there, I think we can dive straight into the joke of the day. Sean, what you got for us this week?
Yes. Thanks, Lou. What is the difference between a soccer referee and a politician? When the referee gets paid, at least somebody wins.
Oh,
boom. Man.
Woo. Shots fired. Woo. Shots fired.
Spicy. That's a spicy one right there. That's that extra hot peri-peri right there. I like it. Oh, but let's dive into this first story. I think probably the wildest football story of the year for South Africa. And that is that TTM FC have purchased Bidvest Wits PSL status. So they agreed to sell their PSL status for an undisclosed fee, according to Takuma Ta Madzivandila. Interestingly, Wits themselves have not released a statement on the matter, but the deal is reportedly done. Wits is now TTM FC. They're moving to Limpopo and will play football at Tohoyandu Stadium from next season onwards. Now, we have seen similar transactions in the past. Most notably is Black Aces selling to John Comitis recently and becoming Cape Town City. But did you ever think it would be a club as large as Bidvest Wits with such a rich history?
Oh, man. It's, you know, we spoke about this briefly last week in terms of how sad it actually is. But then you're given another week to actually contemplate what's going on. And it's really, really bad. I mean, just the way how this thing has been handled, in my opinion, has just been amateurish. You know, it hasn't been good. How the players have found out via WhatsApp. It's just, it's not okay. It's not okay. And it's with a club with so much history, so many juniors with their hopes literally crashed now because they don't have a PSL team to sort of feed into. And look, the staff of it, I believe that none of the staff are being kept. And you're talking staff that has been there for over 25, 30 years. That's how old this club has been around, you know? Mm-hmm. And, obviously, the players, potentially a lot of the players are not going to be going, which we'll talk about now. It's sad. That's all I can say. It's sad. It's very, very sad.
Do you think that Wits are at fault for not getting ahead of this and putting out their own statement yet?
I'd say, first of all, I think it's dodgy for Wits not putting out a statement yet, but I think probably maybe they do have a reason why. but also maybe there might be an opportunity or a chance that maybe internally there are conversations that are happening, and maybe you know, Bitverts are maybe just waiting for everything maybe to go through, and maybe they're still sorting out their internal stuff. But you know, as people of color, once you bought something that is new, you want to make all the noise about it. I think maybe with the new owners, you know, they're going all in about this news maybe too soon, and not understanding as well the impact that it has. And for me, the question always comes into whether they are ready, you know, they had plans prior to this, you know, in place, whether they've got maybe they've acquired players as well. You know, they know exactly what they need to do in terms of accommodation, because this is Toyando we're talking about. We don't know whether they're going to stay in Polokwane, and if there is such, you know, is there room for players to actually come there and stay there? Are they, have they, and do they have, you know, a number of players that they are on board already? Do they have a coach? You know, there's so many things that goes into having a team in the PSL, unlike having a team in NFD. Those are two different challenges, and we know how challenging the PSL may be. You've seen how other teams have been struggling for the last 10 years, being relegation bound all the time. It's just that for me, it's because Vets is so big and Vets has got so much history, the way this thing is done, I was hoping that, you know, it would have been done properly, you know, smoothly as well. You know, maybe people that are involved within the teams would have known in advance, you know, been given an option to start looking for jobs elsewhere. You know, for a coach, it's easy. You know, with Gavin Hunt's history, it's easy for him to stay 2 months without having a job, and then he'll find a job very, very quickly and very easy. As for players that are on top of their game, that have been playing for more than 5 to 6 years regularly at Vets, it won't be much of a challenge for them to get teams. But there's, like Sean has said, like the staff members that have been there, you know, team manager that have been there since Kuvukiland. Now, all of a sudden, you get a text that, you know, you need to start looking for a team. It's not easy. It's very, very challenging. And for the fact that the team is moving away from each other, where else those people, they can't, you know, maybe speak with the new owner, like, dude, can you please retain me in this position whatsoever? But it's very dodgy for me.
Do you think, Deco, that there's a chance that this still gets reversed? Because I'll remind you of about 5 years ago, before Cape Town City bought Mpumalanga Black Aces' rights, AmaZulu attempted the same deal, and it was announced, and then it was reversed because the PSL rejected the application. Do you think that there's any chance that this whole thing gets thrown away and that you know, it doesn't go through, because the PSL still has to confirm this and sign it all.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this that what are the rules saying, but for me is as looking at the PSL looking for a sponsor, probably maybe they have acquired a sponsor from, you know, Bidfirst. And we're looking at a bigger picture. What's the bigger picture? We do need the league to have a sponsor so they can be able to pay those grants to these teams. So now you might look at maybe them themselves, you know, going against their rules, their own rules that they have on the board, maybe looking at what the situation is. But also, I don't think Bidvest would have went on with the deal if they knew that, you know, down the road it will compromise them, because this is a big decision. It's not a decision that you can just think over it overnight and make a decision maybe a day after. I think this has been in talks, and this with Bidvest as well, they've seen maybe how it will work for them or how it will not, maybe the challenges that they may face. But I think for me, I think the PSL won't reverse this decision. It's just that we're just waiting for Bidvest to actually come out with a statement and confirm this.
Definitely. And then, you know, we have a look at the players who are on their way out. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, Sean. So we obviously know Tyson has been linked with Pirates forever, but Kickoff reported this past week that Tyson and Dion Hotto have already agreed to join Orlando Pirates in principle, and that there's strong links with Thabang Monare as well. How does that make the Pirates setup look come next season with three of the type of targets that we spoke about them looking for?
Yeah, look, what Tyson will bring to any team as we know, which we've spoken about at length. And I think Pirates is a probably better fit for him than Sundowns. I think it's a club that he's wanted to play for a very long time. If there was ever a time that he was going to leave Wits, it was probably going to be to Pirates. Again, we don't know. I know Dion Hotto has, they have agreed terms. I'm not 100% sure on Tyson just yet, but I stand to be corrected. Tyson brings leadership. We know that. He's hell of a good in the air. He's improved over the years with the ball at his feet. He can build it from the back. He's a leader. And Dion Hotto, what he can bring down that left flank is, he's been a revelation in the PSL this season. What surprised me is, the goalkeeper Goss from Wits says, they've said he's signed for Sundowns. It just makes absolutely no sense. He's 26 years old. He's had the season of his life. And now he's going up against four other very, very good goalkeepers where he's not even going to be third or fourth choice. So, he's obviously signing maybe with an aim to go on loan. I'm not too sure, but it's a bizarre signing for me, that one.
On your side, I mean, we also saw Gift Motupa is also linked with Sundown. So they're also very keen on this sale. I've been seeing all the jokes on Twitter that it's like a clearance sale over there. there's about 10, 11 players that I've heard mentioned on the way out of the door. So do you think Sundowns are next, Deco, in terms of, you know, they've already started with Ricardo Goss. Now Gift Motupas could possibly be the next. Do you see any other ones leaving?
I see all the senior guys that have been playing regularly leaving the team. But the thing is, where are they going? Because most of the teams, you know the challenges, Slu, when you add a team that is paying you so well, and because they can afford to, and you agreed on contract, and you've been there, and your lifestyle is at a certain place, now you have to readjust that, and not by choice, but because the team has been sold. Now, you end up being in a desperate mode where now, the offers and also the teams will take advantage of bringing offers to these players. You know, they'll be like, dude, this is what we can afford. And looking at the teams, like, for instance, if there's a quality player from, let's say Monara or Cole Alexander to SuperSport, they might take advantage because knowing for a fact that, as a player, you want to play for a team that is challenging for owners. That's for sure. And also, there's so many teams that are within their budgets, unlike Sundowns. You know, not too many teams are like Sundowns, but Bidvest also could play their player as well. So now, as a player, you have to readjust. And I think most of the players that met the Bidvest, they'll find themselves in a situation where, you know, they don't necessarily going to get maybe what they were getting at Bidvest. And that might be a challenge on its own. So,
yeah. Did you see what happened with, or the interview with, Matupu, who was busy talking about how he found out about this whole thing through the media, like a lot of other people, and that now he wants to go back to SuperSport United. And I think they spoke to Stan Matthews, and what he said is, look, he had a great season with us, previously, but since they weren't able to bring him back, they have signed other players. And so now it's like this situation where, yeah, sure, Wits players are on sale, but certain clubs have already made their provisions and they already have other plans. So it becomes this very difficult tug of war. I still can't wrap my head around 99 years. So they're about to turn 100.
Oh, no.
And now all that history is just, what, moved to Limpopo now? I don't think that's how it works.
Oh, no, it's crazy. And you know what? Also, just to throw in this coronavirus in the mix as well, which is confusing everybody in terms of how the contracts are going to work going forward. It's just a whole mess. I don't think this has been handled very well at all. If I was a Wits player, I'd be so disappointed, I guess. And like you say, Teko, the Wits players, they're well looked after. It's a great club. They're well paid. They're always fighting top four, top three. And it's a team that you really want in the PSL. And over the years, we've started enjoying watching Gavin Hunt and, his passion on the side of the field. And he's sort of embedded that in the Bidvest Wits, team that he's acquired over the past few years that he's been there. So it's sad. It's sad for everyone, man. And that beautiful stadium, which is going to go to waste, which has been part of the PSL for years and years and years. And it's just, it's depressing.
And Sean, also, we spoke about this as well, that saying, you know, coming into the PSL, I don't think it should be an issue at all, irrespective of who buys the status of any team. And I think, you know, by the Vets issue, I think because of what the Vets had and what Vets was doing in the PSL, you know, they were competing with all the big teams. Big Vets was slowly turning into a big team because they were always there, you know, causing havoc for all those guys. But now you having a new team that comes on board, which means the challenges for the owners now, they're less. So now there's less teams that will be challenging for the owners, because there's no way that the teams that haven't been challenging for the owners for the last couple of years, they'll start in the new season. You know, I think that on its own, we're taking, you know, the strength of the league as well. I think it has depreciated a bit. And we're going to see, because also they're going to Tando, we're going to use the Tando Stadium. The Tando Stadium is bad as it is. They're going to share that stadium with Black Leopards. That's a challenge on its own, provided Black Leopards also survive.
So do you think this is the start of the steady decline of the PSL in general? I mean, Do you know what I mean? I mean, I can't help but think that this is not a good sign for the future for the PSL.
Dude, like, I wish I can be positive about it, but I'm not, because I see there might be more teams selling come couple of years down the line, because we can see how easy it is to acquire status in the PSL. You know, not like other leagues where you to be screened and be reassessed properly. We don't want to see a situation like FCAK, where you've got so much money you spend on one season, then the next season you are gone, then you want to sell. I think the PSL also needs to stand firm in terms of their rules as well. They need to check the backgrounds of the people and whether they could afford or not. And also what's important as well is the facilities as well, because we want to keep the PSL standard at a high. And by doing so, we need to have teams that will be able to assist us in terms of those facilities, because, like I said, the stadium there is bad as it is right now. And imagine now two teams have to use that stadium week in, week out.
Man.
You know, it's bad, man. I feel bad for players that actually have to be traveling there twice to go and play in that pitch, you know, what else? And then imagine the readjustments that you have to do. You know, you just
it'll be three times, bro. You've got Barocca, you've got four times. You've got Polo Quiet. Oh, man.
It's a whole mess.
I feel nauseous.
By the way, Sean, you mentioned Gavin Hunt, and he's now been told to look for a job elsewhere. But you know, last week he was busy saying he spoke about the big three and how he doesn't want to join the big three because he won't have any control or any say as the coach, really, because there's so much more levels to the hierarchy. So, you know, I saw him rumored with Stellenbosch FC. I did a fan reaction show on Monday. A lot of people were saying he should go to Cape Town City, interestingly. But what do you think is the next challenge for Gavin? I mean, he was blindsided by this whole thing. Where would you like to see him if you were to choose a team?
You know, and you've got a feel for Gavin, because what he's accomplished at a team like Bidvest is astronomical. He's, you know, wherever he coaches, he wins trophies. So wherever he goes, he will be an asset. You know, I would love to see him in Cape Town. I really would. And as you say, Teko, in the past, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I'm not too sure a club like Stellenbosch could afford him, to put it bluntly. Although it would be an amazing project for him, a very new team into the PSL, with his sort of, the way he coaches, you know, he's very strict with the players sometimes. I think he could add a lot of value that takes nothing away from Steve Barker, because I think Steve Barker is doing a great job there. And, if there was a club that he would join that I can only see, it would be Cape Town City. I can't see anywhere else. If he's saying, right, guys, no thanks for the top three, there's only Cape Town City, in my opinion. And that would be exciting. I don't know how to be with him and John, but I mean, it would be exciting.
And he would be Teko's boss that side.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting if he comes and join Cape Town City. But with knowing as well what Gavin has done over the years, he manages to take young players and introduce them. He's not scared to introduce young players into the first team. But also, he's a guy that also is not scared to go out of the country and buy quality players. And also, that requires also big pockets as well. because he's been in that situation where he's used to doing that. A super sport, he was able to do that because they have the finances. At first, they have the finances to do so. I'm not sure if that can be the case at Cape Town City, but looking at Stellenbosch as well, Stellenbosch wants to sustain their status. They want to be forced to be reckoned with as well in Cape Town. And the owner's got money, dude. Like, don't be fooled by the sponsor there or Ram are there on the t-shirt. this dude is loaded a lot. And
it's Rupert, right?
Yeah. And if he wants to, if he really, really, really wants to change his team, and I think the only person that can change all that, as much as we know Steve Barker's been doing well, but you also want to do great, and we know that if really, really they want to change their fortunes altogether, Gavin needs to be on board. But also the challenges will be the guys that were playing under Gavin at Wits, you know, that he didn't use that at Stellenbosch right now. So if he has to go there again, you're facing the similar challenges that you ran away from. So
I disagree. I can't see him going to Stellenbosch. I can't see it. Like I said, if anywhere, Cape Town City. That's my opinion.
Either way, he would be down in the Western Cape, which would be an interesting shift into next season. But, you know, that concludes our chat about Wits. I mean, it's a developing story. We're probably going to talk about it in some way again next week with players leaving the door. Gavin has to try and pick his next project. But onwards we move. Up next, we have 10 quickfire questions. 10 quickfire questions is where we get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. This week, we had SuperSport United midfielder Tebogo Mokoena. Have a listen.
Hi, I'm Tebogo Mokoena from SuperSport United. This is my 10 fire question.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Obviously, it's Kabuzo.
Kabuzo, of course. And then who's the flashiest dresser?
Flashiest.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's Morgan Gold.
Who is the worst dressed that you've played with?
Yeah, it's a bit personal, this one. Okay, let me give it to Qualifapool.
That's actually, I think, the second or third time we've heard him as well. All right. What is the worst mistake that you've made in a match?
I haven't scored an old goal, so I haven't made a penalty. I'm missing one on one.
All right. Yeah. Who is a teammate who thinks that he's funny but is actually not?
That is just a lie, no, man.
Okay, no stress. What is your favorite footballing memory?
Qualifying for Olympics.
And then what is your favorite goal that you've ever scored in a match?
Obviously, the one I scored in Egypt against Cote d'Ivoire.
Very nice. And then currently, what is your favorite car at the moment, your dream car?
My dream car, it's Mustang.
What is your favorite local South African dish, food?
Food, up and stew.
And stew. And then last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination, or it can even be somewhere that you're planning on or hoping on going?
Hoping, okay, I'm going, okay, Paris.
And there you have it, 10 quick fire with the reigning PSL Young Player of the Season. We, of course, haven't had this season's awards because the season is not finished, and we will discuss that nonsense later. But fun fact, in my interview with Tebogo Mokoena, he mentioned a fact that I didn't realize as he's come up through the ranks is both of his debuts came from Stuart Baxter. At SuperSport United, Stuart Baxter handed him his debut, and for Bafana Bafana, it was Stuart Baxter who handed him his debut. So a lot of faith shown in the boy. I think
teacher's
he's had another
pet. Sounds like a teacher's pet.
He's had another great season though. I think he continues to go from strength to strength.
So did he say Paris? Is that somewhere he's been, or he hasn't been to Paris?
No, he hasn't been. He hasn't been to Paris. Yeah.
Okay.
I felt bad because Shane, he's only 23. I think a lot of the PSL guys who've been overseas, they're like 29, 30. You know,
fair
up
enough.
There. And he also said he only bought his first car this year. So I don't think you go on an expensive holiday before.
No, fair enough.
Buying your first car, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Alrighty, but we move on to the international news desk. This is where we take a look at what's going on in Europe particularly. And this week we have the return of the English Premier League. At the time of this recording, we have not seen any of the football. So Man City take on Arsenal Wednesday night. And then Friday we see Tottenham Hotspur versus Manchester United. Come Sunday, Chelsea will face Aston Villa, and we see the Merseyside derby between Liverpool and Everton. So depending on what happens in the City-Arsenal game, the Reds could be champions by Sunday. But apart from the title race, how are you guys feeling about the return of football, and what other stories are you looking out for? Maybe be the Champions League qualification or the relegation battle. What are you most looking forward to with this season?
I think for me, it's, you know, obviously I want to see what happens with that Man City decision, whether they're going to be excluded for the next couple of seasons. It was the Champions League, I believe it is.
Yes.
And it's going to be interesting to see these games behind closed doors and what impact it actually has. You know, I mean, it's amazing what a crowd of 65,000 can bring to a game. But, you know, when you start hearing echoes in the stadium, it's going to be something different. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting. And, yeah, you know, as much as a Man City fan I am, I'm very happy for Liverpool when they are crowned champions, and they thoroughly deserve it. And I'm glad the Premier League is going through with that, so they get the rightly deserved championship win.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, a couple of things that I'm looking forward to is obviously, you know, seeing Liverpool being crowned, which we all know that it's on the cards already, and possibly to see the players that were doing well within the league, whether they'll continue with that form or not. You know, it's because in the PL, you know how important it is to be a top goal scorer. You know how the strikers, they take it so seriously. So it's for me, it's also to see how that continues, and probably maybe to see now that Jose Mourinho has been given enough time now to readjust to the new team. And to see how Spurs will finish, because for me, Spurs has always been one of the interesting teams within the EPL that is not fighting for honors really, really, really the way they're supposed to. And then knowing how the coach is, you know, he's a guy, he's a winner, you know, and he will probably want to turn things around. So it was interesting to see which teams actually qualify for the Champions League. And yes, with that interesting issue for Manchester City as well, to see whether also the team that can sustain the performance that they've been having, or whether they wanna, and also with the talks for Pep maybe leaving or staying, and also seeing if they will sign new players coming into the team. So EPL is always interesting. And I've realized also with other leagues as well that are back, playing closed doors, there's always like a sound of fans, you know, that they're playing at the stadiums. You know, you hardly hear players calling the ball and whatsoever. So of course, for one, I thought that would be weird. I don't want to hear Messi calling the ball. I don't want to know how he calls the ball or maybe the way he shouts at other players, but there's always crowds going, voices there at the stadium. So probably maybe that will be implemented as well in the EPL. And you could see also with the stadiums as well, it doesn't look empty because there's always images there on the seats. So it's very interesting actually how they made it. I just hope that EPL also will do the same thing.
Yeah, I think what you're referring to there, it was weird with the Bundesliga, they didn't do that. It was very quiet in the stadiums. And then with La Liga, they brought, it looks almost like when you play FIFA, it looks like what the crowd looks like in FIFA. And then they have the sound of the fans. And I think there must be some guy controlling it because it sounds like they celebrate goals too.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. I think the Premier League will probably want to do that just because it, with Bundesliga, it looked weird. It just looked and sounded weird.
Dude.
But
it's like a training, you know, hearing the guys, everybody, men coming and pass the ball. No, I don't want to hear those type of things.
Also on that note, we should mention Bayern Munich are now officially champions in Germany.
Of course.
I think it's the eighth time in a row.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. But, yeah, they cruised to victory. I don't think that surprised anybody. They were favorites coming into it. It's a similar situation to Liverpool, kind of, where it was only a matter of time.
Sure.
And as good as Dortmund were, they weren't going to catch, you know? So congratulations to Bayern Munich, champions of Germany. But as we move on, we see this story about, we actually covered this when it was first announced, but FIFA are now officially set to launch their global fund for player salary protection. So FIFA and FIFPro, the World Players Union, have reached an agreement to establish the fund. It aims to provide financial support to players who have not been paid or have no chance of duly receiving the wages agreed with their clubs. And they've set aside $16 million for the fund up until 2022. So finally, we see this fund launched. And I think especially when it comes to the shrinking of clubs' budgets and, you know, players' contracts still being active, you know, with COVID-19 and that crisis, I think it's as timely as it could possibly be. I think it's set to be launched in July officially. Yeah. What does this mean for the future of especially let's look at the PSL and the NFD, where clubs are struggling to pay their players and their budgets are going to decrease. Do you think this is like the perfect kind of system, to look after players and their salaries?
Well, Slu, it's on paper, it looks amazing, but you've just said $16 million over 4 years, basically, over 3 years. Yeah. So for me, it needs to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars. I can't see $4 million a year being enough to carry this, especially over this pandemic, which is happening. I don't know if you agree, but it's an amazing initiative. But $4 million, that's one or two players' wages in Europe. That's one player wages in Europe. So I don't know how it's going to be split. If you know what I mean, does X go to Africa? Does X stay in Europe or whatever? But for me, it doesn't seem enough unless I'm missing something completely. I don't know.
maybe they don't have enough cases that comes to them in terms of the salary wages. That's why maybe the budget is that low. Cause for me, it's ridiculous to have 16, but it's like you said, Sean, it's a good initiative. And, for us also within our continent as well, I think there's so many cases that we have when players, contracts are not, followed through or teams not respecting contracts. There's so many teams also in the PSL that I don't want to mention their names. You know who you are. And I think that initiative will come if it has to come also into the country as well, where, it will be implemented. It will be super great also because we've seen how players always taking their teams to court and all the type of stuff. You know, we want to see the players on the pitch, man. We don't want to see them in court and fighting what they do for. I mean, we sign the contract, respect the contract. You know, if I think maybe if those teams probably maybe they should start signing better contracts, you know, where there is a termination clause that is on the contract, because teams tend to terminate the contract without any reasonable, you know, any reason, you know, because sometimes with the code of conduct, you know, the teams sign a code of conduct. Okay. Those who have code of conduct every season, because it changes all the time with code of conduct, probably maybe after, being in DC three times, maybe they might maybe cut your salary maybe in half, but I've never heard of a team in South Africa where it just terminates your contract based on the DC decision. So, but you can see that happening most of the time. I'm just saying also with the players as well, they need to be aware of this small things in the contract as well, because teams taking advantage because of they know for a fact that most of us, we don't know the laws.
And, yes, sir.
And we need to be careful of that.
Yes, sir.
Definitely. Agreed. Moving on, we have a feature called The Secret Footballer. For those of you who don't know, our sister publication Kickoff, if you look at their back page of each of their issues, they have a feature called The Secret Footballer, where someone involved in the local football space tells a story of something that's going on or their experience. What do you have for us this week, Sean?
Yeah, so The Secret Footballer today has been part of a team that's been through a couple of coaches over the past couple seasons, and he says, "You are not building anything if you're going to hire and fire coaches just because of results. You have to have a plan, play well, and then the results will come. You can't keep bringing in coaches and thinking that results will come." So my question to Teko is, how important do you think it is to have a sort of head coach that is a leader in your team, but someone who's been there for 3 or 4 years, but especially how that filters down through the development structure? So I'm not going to mention any clubs or whatever here, but you look at certain clubs that go through coaches after season after season, but what does that actually do for the development structure? Because, you know, when you've got a Sir Alex Ferguson on top, you know, for 16, 17 years, however long it was, and how that filters down into the development structure, what it brings to an enterprise, which doesn't really happen in South Africa. Do you know what I'm saying, Tex? What do you think of that?
Yeah. First of all, I don't think we believe teams. I don't think they believe in their own visions to in the first place. I think they set themselves goals, and then they don't have a good criteria in terms of how they're selecting the coaches, and also what their requirements are from the coaches as well. Because sometimes as coaches, we just want the job, right? You get there, and then you promise to survive relegation. And then once you survive relegation, now the team, now come new season, they've got new ambitions. Now they want to win the league, which is impossible.
Yeah.
You know, I think also it helps to have a coach that has vision for the team, and it also helps for the team also to believe in the coach, to also help him get the required players that he needs. Because by changing all those coaches every season, I promise you, it affects the development structure, because nobody will get promoted. Because most of the time, it's always great as a player to get promoted by a senior coach, by a team that coaches a senior team, because he knows exactly how to use you. I like being promoted by just the chairman of the team, because he feels some type of way. Because most of the time, when they promote players, especially chairmen, they're promoting players based on emotions, because they've invested in the player, they want to see him play. But as a coach, you see that he has a potential to do something for you, or you want to give an opportunity, and we've seen in all big teams how they do it. I think it's important for teams that are actually in that position where get a right coach, and sometimes to get a right coach it might take a while. But once you have a right coach, I think you need to have your structure properly and have a vision for 4 to 5 years, because all these great teams that we're speaking about in the country that we have been speaking about for so long, they're not great. They didn't become great, you know, in one season. They became great over the years. And by doing so, they started building their teams. You know, they've acquired youngsters that will be there in the team for longer period, and the understanding becomes better. Of course, you can have additional members within the season, or every year, maybe add one or two. But I've seen teams that are changing the whole team every season. And then you become surprised when they're consistent, because you can have all the great players. You can select the best players to come and play, you know, in one team. But you have a team out of them, sometimes it becomes very, very difficult, especially when you don't have a coach that has a character to be in charge of a dressing room. And I think most teams that are changing coaches all the time, I think the problem is also down in the dressing room, because now there's too many influenced. You know, the chairman thinks that now they're coaches. You know, they tell the coaches who to play and whom not to play. And their coaches as well, you know, because of maybe also they feel like, you know, I haven't been doing well, so I can allow the chairman to tell me certain things. And by doing so, you're opening up another channel that you might not be able to close, you know, later on. So I think it's important for coaches, Sean, to go to the right teams, you know, because...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because that's important, because otherwise you can only be great. The reason why you speak about great coaches is because they were in the position where the teams actually believed in them, and they started, you know, having good results. You've been judged by good results. You've been judged by winning trophies as well. And that's not going to happen overnight. You need to have a good team, and all the great players as well, they need to have a good coach for them to actually perform well. So I think it balances off. But I think the most problem that we have in Africa, not only just in South Africa, is the chairmen that believe that themselves, they know better than the coaches.
Yeah. And I think what Deco was referring to there is also what Gavin was speaking about with regards to the top three, where I think maybe if you take away Sundowns, for example, where Pizzo clearly has quite a lot of influence, I think the issue of chairmans being involved and coaches not really having a lot of time, that's perhaps what Gavin was talking about. Like, if I'm going to be coach, I need to be in the driver's seat and nobody else, no backseat drivers this side. Like, I need to be in full control. So it's an interesting one. Do you think that maybe this thing of like legacy chairmans, where it's almost like you think of the club, you think of the chairman. Do you think that has to be drawn to an end? I've seen some fans of certain clubs, which I won't mention, growing frustrated with their chairman and wanting them to perhaps take a step back and bring somebody new in with who'll take a step back and kind of let the coach do his thing. Do you think that era needs to kind of come into play, Sean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really happen in South Africa if you think about it, does it? The fans really go off at the coaches, not so much at the chairman. So you never really see a packed FNB stadium saying, oh, we want Kaiser out. That's never going to happen. And rightly so, he's a legend. But you'll see, okay, we want this coach out, we want that coach out. Where in England or Europe, you see, we want the chairman out, because they know that big changes will be made from the top. It'll filter all the way down through the bottom. So it's an interesting one. Yeah, it's an interesting one, but it does everything starts at the top.
Also, to come back to what Gavin said as well, is most coaches who have that possibilities where they don't need, you know, the back seat, and they don't need to be told, they earn that, you know, during the years. I think also with Gavin, when he started, he was not in the situation where he is right now, where he can call the shots. So, but also the challenges are, not many coaches are given that opportunity to grow and earn their rights. I think Gavin has earned them because he's won so many trophies. So when you hire Gavin, you know exactly what he comes with. He's going to tell you what he needs and leave him like that and let him win trophies because he's won them before. He's got a reference. So now all these coaches, the younger coaches that are coming through, the chairmen, they want to copycat. They're seeing what Sunlands is doing, what Chiefs is doing, what Pirates is doing. They want to do them into a team, forgetting that they don't have the resources to do so. So sometimes it's going to take 2 to 3 years to actually find the right combination within the team. Hence, it's important as well. I think it's important for everyone that is part of the team. It's important for scouters as well to scout a player that will fit into the system, not because he's an exciting player. You know, to have a formidable team that will actually be good in 2 years. Everybody wants to form, to have a team that will be good next season. You know, I want to be great next season. They're not thinking about 2 years down the line. I think that on its own, it brings so
it's a
much
problem.
Yeah, man, it's a problem for so many teams within the country because, like I say, like anybody can buy their status and come into the league and own the team and be excited and go. If you're not gonna bring the quality within the team, if you're not gonna change or contribute positively towards the game, then there's no point, because we always want to see the game grow. We always want to see players, you know, because at some point for me, I really want to see probably maybe 20 to 40% of the players that are in the national team, they're all from the small team. Not because maybe we're feeling pity for them, but because of the teams they're playing for, they're actually great. You know, we don't want the situation where a team is winning a league with 18 points. What has everybody been doing? You know, teams are getting relegated with 6 games to go. We don't want that. Of course, if it happens, it's unfortunate, but we don't want too many of those. We want teams to be start challenging. Hence, I've always had a problem with the top eight. I like the top eight, the concept of it. I like the trophy. I mean, it's quick money. It builds the excitement within the league, you know, towards the new season. That's perfect. That's fine. But now you find teams that are just going into the new season to fight for a top eight position. So now here you are, Slu. You are a team that's for a formidable team. You've been fighting for honors. Come last game of the league, you're winning the league, you're losing the league by a point. You're number 2 now on the lock. You're on top 8 next season. You get knocked out by a team that is number 7. Do you understand? Like, I just feel like maybe if in South Africa, you know, being on a top 4 because you qualify for Champions League, you qualify for CAF, I think that those are the rewards for being in the certain positions as well. I think if we can have a cup that caters for that, so that we can run away from, I mean, the top 8 has been there for how long? Let's run away from the top 8 part. Let's look at the top 4. Let teams fight for being in the top 4. Because, I mean, we're tired of teams that say, I just want the top 8 bracket, top 8 bracket. Guys, come on.
Yeah.
For what?
For who now?
Yeah.
But moving on, we have This Week in Football History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This is where I take a look back and taking you all down memory lane. So this week in 1994, one Motobi Mvala of Highlands Park was born. He turned 26 this week. Also this week back in 1967, Liverpool boss and two-time German Manager of the Year Jürgen Klopp was born in Stuttgart. And also this week in 1998, Bafana Bafana played to a 1-1 draw against Denmark with Benny McCarthy grabbing his first FIFA World Cup goal. And also this week in football history, we lost to Spain at the 2002 World Cup, losing 3-2, and Benny McCarthy got his last World Cup goal. Who knows if he was selected for the squad 8 years later, maybe he would have gone 3-for-3. But we move on to one of our final stories here. So SAFA and the PSL, are they taking too long to announce new dates? So back on March 16th, the PSL suspended all football due to the coronavirus pandemic. It's now been 3 full months and we still don't have any new dates or announcements regarding the 2019-20 season conclusion. The season has a July 31st deadline, according to FIFA, to be concluded in some way. Are SAFA and the PSL like taking far too long over here, gents.
Well, it's they're just not seeing eye to eye, and that's the problem. And unfortunately, when you're in a situation like this, you need to put all your troubles aside and just come to a conclusion for the better of the beautiful game football. I mean, also, I don't think they've got really the go ahead from government in terms of what can and cannot be done in terms of starting the league again or concluding the league. So, but yeah, it's taking far too long. The clubs are confused at what's happening. They can't commit unless you Sundowns to, you know, to make certain signings. Yeah, we need answers, man. We need answers because a lot of people's jobs are on the line here.
Yeah. I think also I think it's positive that we're seeing other big leagues are coming back. You know, we've been watching games now, and I'm sure also they're watching games. They see how it's done. I think they need to come up with a date and let's continue with the game, because the challenges that we're facing, those top countries as well, they have the similar challenges irrespective of the infrastructure that they have. Because coronavirus affected everyone. So I think they need to come up with a date and tell us when to play. And also, I think what's important as well, maybe to tweak a little bit of regulations as well, because if you look at Spain, they would 5 substitutions, if not 4. They're allowed to substitute more numbers of the players, merely because, you know, you also want to protect the players from injuries and all that stuff, because they want to play so many games within a short space of time. I think we can look at that possibilities as well, because if we say 31st of July, you know, it's one of those days that probably maybe the league should be done by that time, which means you're requiring the team to play every 3 days. So you can have a little bit of adjustments on top of that. Like, you guys, you can substitute so many. Of course, it'll work well for your Highlands Park, where they can introduce 4 defenders come second half and defend the game But I think everybody has an opportunity, because I mean that can be the rule that anybody can use it, you know, whatever how. But I think it's just important for them to come back and tell us a date. I think it's, we also craving our own local football as well. I think there's so many things that needs to happen. You know, players need to move, players need to find jobs. And also there's a challenge. Other players' contracts are done, they're still stuck with their old team because the league hasn't been finished. So there's so many dynamics that are happening. I think for that to be cleared, let's just finish with the league and let's look at the new challenges ahead of the new season.
Yeah, and the reason why I bring this up is because back in May, SAFA and the PSL announced their joint task force, and they were tasked with trying to find the right way to bring football back. I think according to government, so the most recent announcement they've made was regarding training, that they're allowed to, you know, come back to training, but I haven't really seen teams back in their normal training facilities. In terms of just the announcements that SAFA and the PSL made, they go, okay, the joint task force has 2 weeks to come to put together a report. That report then goes to the joint liaison committee. That was the end of May. That was May 31st. And now we're in level three, going to advanced level threes and what. But don't you think if you're going to tell us that stuff in May, surely just keep us updated or let us know what progress has been made in terms of what you guys have researched and what you guys have found, because now everybody's in the dark. Do you think that they're waiting just to be 100% sure, or do you think that there is no clarity?
No, Slew, I think this has just magnified the relationship between PSL and SAFA in terms of how they're not getting along, how they have never really got along. And I think this is a great example of it. I think they're batting heads in terms of what the PSL wants and what SAFA believe should happen. And this is just magnifying what's happening. So yeah, we should have had answers by now. It's, you know, the clubs are going crazy. I presume Teko, you know, you're still part of it. And, it's the players just want to play football, man. And their supporters just want to watch it.
Yeah. But I believe, Sean, that, these people actually do communicate with the teams. Maybe it might not be out there in the public, but I'm sure there is a conversation that is happening within the teams. But it's just that, you know, the relationship that SAFA has and the PSL, you know, now they're forced now to get along, you know, and sometimes it becomes very difficult because of the egos that comes into play. But I think now it's important for both SAFA and the PSL to look at the bigger picture, which is the players, because the players are the properties of these companies. You know, there's 16 big companies in the league that have so many people that are employed, and those people actually have other people that they're taking care of. So there's a chain of, you know, responsibilities within everybody else. So I think it's important for them to come up with the date and let's continue and let's face those, because those challenges that may come, they're all going to be new to everybody. So I think we shouldn't be scared of facing any new challenges because they're new to everybody. So whatever that we're going to face is going to be new. Let's find a solution and let's continue. Because I think also the biggest risk is, Sean, is having to come back and maybe start to play. Let's say Baraka's playing Vets, whatever the case may be. Now here, all of a sudden, four players from Baraka testing positive. Mm. You know, I think also that needs to come back to maybe the team, maybe the league saying like that, because now it's going to delay the whole league. So it might as well be deducted for points so that the teams can take this thing very seriously. They can make sure that the players are doing correct stuff, because the more delay happens, you know, there's more money that has been lost. You know, and it affects everyone. So we cannot be in a situation where four players are delaying the whole league.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's just like what you're mentioning is actually quite topical, because, and there's been no postponement of the Premier League because of this, but Tottenham played a behind closed doors friendly against Norwich City recently, and there was a Norwich City player who tested positive for Corona, and reports are that he was involved in that match. And you know, if you have a situation like that, it becomes like an NBA thing where, oh, now we have to postpone because of one guy or because of one player, you know, and you don't want that situation. So I suppose that's a concern. But rigorous testing. I mean, the Premier League, every few days, they do a round of testing.
But also, so you play, when you play in your friendly, these people, because you're a big team, they come in to you to come and play the friendly. You test them before you play them. Mm. You know, because now you're a bigger team and you know the consequences are. Because nobody said you shouldn't play a friendly, then nobody forced you to play a friendly. So it's your decision to play a friendly. So it's your responsibility as well that your players are coronavirus free. We don't say in the PSL teams shouldn't play friendlies, but what we're saying is once now they're back, whatever, in camp, whatever the case might be, make sure that everybody is perfect, everybody's in tip-top condition, because once you get delayed, the points are going to be deducted. Trust me, no team wants to be relegated by not playing football. So everybody wants to play and earn their points. So now teams will take these things very seriously. The players also will know that they're taking this very seriously. So the teams also might have their own regulations and say, if you're testing positive, chief, we're deducting half of your salary on top of the 30% that we've been deducting. So now everybody takes this thing seriously. Because most of the time, I promise you, Slu, most of the time is like, as a player, you don't know amount of money that has been spent by the team itself. You don't know, because for you is, I'm a player, they need to pay me, you agreed on a contract, right? And you don't know the amount of money that the league spends on the team for them to play better, or the amount of money that you know, television rights, there's so much money that is involved. So with so much money that has been involved, now we go to a point where now we scrutinize everything. So now we in the position for all sorts of players as well to come on board and be as professional as they can, because they're not just going to be the ones only affected. They're affecting the whole league.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Agreed. And our last story of the day now is, we, of course, know the situation regarding Kaizer Chiefs and their transfer ban that was handed down by FIFA. It's a two-window transfer ban, and it's due to their handling of the signing of Dax. So they have their appeal set for September, ironically the month right after the transfer window closes. So now that there's a story, if you pick up the paper for only $4, the SIA special is regarding Buhle Mkhwanazi and other targets. It's basically, would they wait for Chiefs' appeal process? Because I think either way, Chiefs will only be able to sign new players in January. So with everything that's going on, do you think that Chiefs' targets, I mean, Buhle Mkhwanazi is on the list, but also there's Thabo Rakaale, there's a few other players who've been linked with that move. Do you think that they'd be willing to wait until after that September appeal to sign a pre-contract with Kaizer Chiefs, or do you think that it's a little too much to ask of a player under these circumstances?
Well, it's... So here's my way of thinking. If the appeal is only in September, then surely it should be the two following transfer windows that they cannot be active. So unless I'm being stupid, but if they've put it into September, then surely they can make signings now. That's what I would have thought. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've said that they can't. So Chiefs can't sign anyone in this coming transfer window. That's why they haven't been involved in the clearance sale with Vitz or anything. So, it's this window. It's January, and then it's next June to August as well.
Yes. Yeah. And look. So to answer your question, it's a massive risk for the players to wait. But yeah, I mean, if it does get lifted, which I have a sneaky suspicion it will do, and if it does get lifted and the players are still in demand, then, I mean, they're cashing in, you know? I mean, it's great. It's fantastic for them, but it's a massive risk. What do you do? Do you say no to another club just on the hope that a ban doesn't get uplifted? I mean, it's a tough one, hey? I wouldn't like to be in their shoes, but, I mean, what they could do in essence is sign a pre-contract, I guess. And get paid for 6 months or however long it is if it doesn't get lifted, and then start next season. But it's, yeah, Slew, I would want to be in their shoes, put it that way.
what would you suggest to a player if they ask for your advice? Because it is still, it's Kaizer Chiefs. It's a huge potential move. What would you suggest to a player who is seeking advice?
I've got a sneaky suspicion that, it will be lifted. I think they're going to be able to do the transfers, to be honest.
All right.
That's my opinion.
Sean Roberts.
Seko, your thoughts? Would you wait?
If I have my clearance with me, I would wait. You know, because now you're standing a better chance. You're in the draft. You're in the driver's seat. You're with your clearance with you. And the chances are, like Sean has said, of course, it's a big risk for players, but also it's also some things like some opportunities as well that might come once in a lifetime. You know, also you want to consider that as a player as well. But I think those who benefit with this are the ones probably maybe with their own clearances in hand, waiting for Kaizer Chiefs, because irrespective, there's going to be teams, because you can still sign even when the window is closed with your clearance in your hand. So I think for that, if other teams as well, they'll still want to come and sign whoever that they want to sign because the Kaizer Chiefs is interested. You know what I mean? So I think I don't think it's more of a big risk, but it's just that the waiting period also, it affects you, because now the preseason at the time, where would you be doing your preseason? I think it delays the player as well. So I think the sooner this is sorted out, the better for anybody that wants to play for Kaizer Chiefs, or also the Kaizer Chiefs themselves. Because we also want to see Kaizer Chiefs making signings. We want to see Kaizer Chiefs being strengthened like other teams as well. I want to see a better Kaizer Chiefs next season.
The sooner the better.
Thank you, man.
And so up next, we have a feature called the Car of the Week. And it is Sean who tells us what wheels we should be saving up for with the hundreds of thousands of rands we earn every week. What do you got for us this week?
Yes, I think we're all on a million per episode, aren't we?
So, you know what I'm saying?
which we're going to need it for this one. So the new Aston Martin DBX. The Aston Martin has finally revealed their SUV. If you don't know what an Aston Martin is, it's the car that James Bond drives in the 007 movies. I'm a massive fan of the Aston Martin, so I'm very excited about this one. The DBX launched last month, I believe, with a twin turbo V8 engine supplied by Mercedes AMG. 0 to 104.3 seconds, which is very quick for an SUV, starting around 4 million and top end, I'm guessing around 5.8 to 6 million rand. Please do yourself a favor and go check out the Aston Martin DBX.
Ooh, another supercar 4x4. I think it was Lambo who also recently joined the market with the Lambo truck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Man, people are just going to be speeding in big ass cars now, bro.
I'm not too sure after this pandemic. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the streets are going to be relatively empty for a while. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, we saw the boy Gabuza might be interested in that 0 to 100
speed. For sure.
But let's close off the show with a motivational quote of the week as everybody starts going back to work. I think they'll need a little bit of inspiration. Sean, what you got?
Yes, sir. So sometimes in life, you have to think deep and hard about what the universe is trying to teach you instead of focusing and wasting your energy on trying to figure out the reasons as to why the universe is allowing certain things to happen to you. Nice one.
Basically, learn from lessons instead of being mad at everything all the time.
Stop being a victim, basically. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love that one. I love that one. So whether you have been listening to us on SL Radio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Apple, or during game time on the one and only Mahikeng FM, we say a big thank you for listening and lending us your ears. We will see you all next week. From myself, Slu, my co-hosts, Steko and Sean, sayonara,
totsiens, away.
And we shall see you when we see you. Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ciao, Bella.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.